We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Welcome to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast, presented by Americans for Prosperity, the nation's largest grassroots advocate for free markets. You can subscribe to the Prosperity Podcast on iTunes and find all of our episodes on AmericansForProsperity.org. I am your host, Ed Dean. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Dean. Today, we're going to talk with Michael Hardin, State Director of Americans for Prosperity in the great state of Georgia, of what took place just the other night with the Georgia special election, and what does the future of Georgia politics hold when it comes to Americans for Prosperity and free market policies. More coming up this way on the next edition right now with Prosperity Podcast. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Dean. What a busy week. Let's get to it. Michael Hardin is the State Director of Americans for Prosperity in the state of Georgia. During his time as the State Director, he has worked to beat back many crony capitalism projects in Georgia, as well as fighting tax increases such as the gas tax. Michael, before we get into some other things maybe down that road, you just had a special election Tuesday night to replace Tom Price, who left in your area to become the head of Health and Human Services. Republican Karen Handel, who ran as a conservative, defeated the Democrat John Ossoff by 5 points in the most expensive House election of all time. What was your immediate reaction to those results there, Michael?
Well, frankly, they were a little surprising. We felt like in the end that our data, especially from AFP's perspective, was going to be that we were going to see a net lift. But frankly, the margin was a shocker to a lot of people, and I think a lot of pundits and green visor types are going to be studying those numbers for some time to figure out what happened and how.
Now, what do you mean by that? Shocker is what, that the margin was higher or lower? Explain it to the audience.
Well, the left spent, you know, $30 million that we know of on ads in the weeks leading up to this race. They saw this as a referendum on Trump. The Hollywood elites, the people from New York, San Francisco, I mean, everyone was here. This was ground zero for the left trying to make a move. And you would think with $30 or $40 million spent that you could at least get more votes than Hillary Clinton did in 2016. But right. Our early numbers are showing that just wasn't the case. And that, frankly, is a pretty poor return on investment if I'm one of their donors.
The polls had this race much closer than the final results. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of that is just that, you know, some people aren't willing to be, you know, just like we saw in 2016. A lot of people didn't see Trump winning, and the polls were showing different things leading up to the hours before the polls closed. And I think some people just aren't comfortable with answering those type of things. I also feel like that in the last days there was some gaffes on the left and some smart moves by some folks on the right to see that the, you know, conservative base was turned out. And I think that that's what it boiled down to.
Michael, give me your analysis on Karen Handel. When you look at her, she and some of her past, she speaks like a free market conservative. Did she, with her views going into this election, did she agree with, for example, like many of those of Americans for Prosperity? Did you guys see a view that she would pretty much agree with, yes or no?
Well, on the issues that matter the most to AFP and our network, like pursuing a free and open society, free market-based policies, her time, you know, throughout the years has been more of a chamber Republican, if you will, and not as friendly to those causes, although I'm optimistic that some of the things that she has said and laid out during this campaign, that she's going to make sure and that she's going to fight for not only the 6th District, but for Georgia and all Americans. To make sure that Americans have access to a free market and advancing those policies that we know that we hold so dear. So I'm optimistic. There's not a long track record of her being a champion on our issues, but I'm hopeful that she understands the folks that you know, from her district that are loud and vocal, and we're going to continue to be that and holding her accountable.
Give the audience, Michael, a sense of what Georgia 6 around the Atlanta area. Give me in the audience, what is it like? Is it a bellwether? Is it a conservative district when you look at past congressmen of Johnny Isaacson, Newt, and, of course, Tom? Is it becoming a swing district? Give the audience what it's like.
Well, it's a suburban district just north of Atlanta. As you mentioned, it's Tom Price's old district, Newt Gingrich. But this district looks very, very different than it did just 2 years ago. This is a district that, you know, 30 or 40% of the voters didn't live there 10 years ago. And this is a very young, millennial-driven sort of techie district with a lot of these younger folks living the suburban life, sort of moving outside of the downtown Atlanta, working at some of, you know, more of your younger and hip businesses within the city. So I don't see this as a bellwether. I see this as a district that's rapidly changing. And frankly, I expected the left to do better in that district. I mean, 5 points is nowhere close, especially when you're talking, you know, $50 million plus. That's when you do the vote count. I mean, we're talking about spending in excess just on radio and TV, not counting the overhead and other things. I mean, we're talking about $200 plus per vote.
Wow.
That has been spent. And it garnered nothing more than Hillary Clinton did in 2016, and she practically spent zero in that district. So I think this is proof that, you know, that old country song, money can't buy you love. And if all the left, if their solutions to advance in America and their policies is just to throw money at it, it's not going to work. They're going to have to come up with solutions. And I think last night proved that they're not quite there yet.
You know, Michael, tell the audience, and this is another interesting question that I'm really looking forward to your answer, is when you listen to the media, it was either from the left, it was about either impeachment, Russia, don't repeal of Obamacare. From the other side, the issue about minimum wage. But, you know, was there any free market issues that were at least somewhat addressed? Ideas that like AFP and other free market groups get along, or were those issues pretty much ignored in this special election?
No, they were very much at the forefront. I mean, we were working our plan with NAFP. We weren't spending a ton of money on, you know, on TV and doing some of the more sexy things that tends to make groups like ours famous or get our names out there in lights. We were working a data-driven plan to learn some things for the future. And when we were talking to not only our voters, but constituents in the district that we felt like maybe aligned with us or may not be, we were finding that they wanted solutions that they had been promised over the last year. And those that were more right-leaning, they were willing to go another shot, maybe another round or two to get some of those bold initiatives. They weren't happy that, you know, the Obamacare replacement that's being floated around out there doesn't seem like a real conservative solution. They wanted comprehensive tax reform. So, you know, when we were knocking on the doors of these folks and talking with them on the phone, we were finding that this wasn't about party. This wasn't about, you know, any bigger referendum on Trump or anything like that. At the end of the day, they were willing to give Republicans one more bite at the apple to make sure that that they got the bold conservative solutions that they had been promised. But I can tell you that if Republicans in D.C. don't start delivering on some of those promises made, I think it's going to be harder and harder to protect some of these districts around the country.
What was Americans for Prosperity? You are the state director. What was the role in this race, and when did you guys become part of having a role in this race? Was it before the primary? Was it after the primary process? Explain to the audience.
Well, as soon as we heard that President Trump was going to be nominating Representative Price for his post. You know, we have an office we have had for a number of years there in this Congressional District 6. So we knew that we were going to have a part to play. We also knew that, you know, as you know, AFP, we don't endorse candidates.
Right.
We don't necessarily pick sides in the sense that we're just going for, you know, for one over the other or the lesser of evils or anything like that. At the end of the day, we're married to our issues and our principles, and that's what we were going to be in this for. So even when there was 20 people in this race, back in February and March, we were involved trying to make sure that our voters, the folks that are standing with us on the issues and fight day in and day out to make sure that we're advancing conservative free market policies, We wanted to make sure that their voice was heard. And so we've been working a data approach to do that. And we've also went after some of the more non-traditional voters. A lot of these folks have been, you know, we're spending money in this runoff on folks that had voted in April. We decided to take a more calculated risk and reaching out to those that hadn't voted, letting them know that they could still vote in the runoff, and making sure that they were educated on our issues and that we got them out to vote. So I think at the end, when the dust settles and we count all the numbers, I think that on the left and the right, I think it's going to be very clear that Americans for Prosperity honored our donors, and then we got the best return in the country as far as getting people to the polls for, I mean, I'm talking literally $5 or $10, not the $200 plus that you're seeing these other organizations spending.
When not only the host of this podcast, but I do practice what I preach. I do many, like a National Day of Action. I'll be embedded. I'll go along. Been doing this for the last several years. Because one of the things that has always been bragworthy about AFP is always about the issues. When you guys were knocking on doors, and you're very surgical, and it's a very interesting, very harmless approach when you talk to individuals because you're not there to sell them anything, but when you're there meeting with those in your district and talking to them, did it become more about when you asked them what they liked and disliked, because you guys do take that approach, which is great, did it become more about the issues, or did this race, when you talk to voters out there, did it become more about the personalities?
Well, there was definitely an element to that. I think both sides had a following that was pretty solid behind them. Although the part that we were trying to, you know, as you said, kind of dissect and surgically go after were those folks that may not know either candidate personally or be a hard Republican or a hard Democrat. As you know, we'll dance with anyone who's willing to dance with freedom.
Correct.
And at the end of the day, we found that when talking to these people that, you know, it wasn't about personality. It wasn't about party. They want solutions, and they want a Washington, D.C. that delivers on the promises that have been made. And, you know, we were knocking on the doors and having conversations with Republicans that were telling us, hey, you know, I'm not married to the Republican Party. I'm not going to continue to be a reliable voter if they can't get things done, having a large majority in the House, a majority in the Senate and the White House as well. So I'm willing to give them a little bit more time, see some bold conservative policies come down, but I'm not going to be a reliable voter in 2 years if we don't get those. And then we would talk to people on the left that you know, understood that the policies of the left weren't working, and they were willing to swim upstream and give Republicans a shot and you know, see if they could push through some of those bold initiatives. So that's what we saw.
A two-part question. Give me a quick response. I want to throw two of them here. What do you think are the implications for this election, and what does this say about the future of Georgia politics?
Well, as far as the first one, I think that this is very clear that policies win over money and fame. It doesn't matter how many celebrities you send into a district, how much money you pump into the airwaves. At the end of the day, people want results, and I believe that is, you know, has now been proven. As far as Georgia, Georgia is a very dynamic place. 10 million people, one of the largest states in the country, the busiest airport in the world, the Empire State of the South. There's no doubt that we are becoming more and more diverse as we move forward. And at the end of the day, I think no party has a monopoly on Georgia politics, but free market policies and the things that we stand for at AFP, we're going to continue to make sure that we're at the forefront and try to ensure that no matter who is in control, that at the end of the day, the taxpayers are winning.
You know what I've learned before I let you go, Michael, what I've learned, especially walking and doing walks with Americans for Prosperity, knocking on doors, as you guys say, you are a nonpartisan. And you know, when you mention the issues, just talking about them, if you take away the party titles, about 70 to 80% agree with the philosophies of Americans for Prosperity. That's what I've learned hanging out and walking. Michael Hardin, again, a fascinating issue, what took place in Georgia this past week. Michael Hardin, the state director of Americans for Prosperity. It was good to talk to you today. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast. If you want to learn more about these issues and get involved in the fight for freedom, go to AmericansForProsperity.org. That's AmericansForProsperity.org. I have been your host, Ed Dean.